Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Today we're going to talk about impartation. Let's turn to Galatians 1. From Paul, an apostle, one raised up and sent, not by men or through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I write together with the brothers who are with me to all the churches in Galatia. May grace and peace be imparted to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for our sins to free us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for all eternity. Amen. It shall be so. You're waiting for this translation, I can see. Now, this is typical of the way Paul and others open their letters. Most of our translations just say grace and peace to you, as if it's a greeting. But it's not a greeting. Paul is speaking God's impartation of grace and peace over. That's what's in his heart. May grace and peace be imparted to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a strange paradox that we have in our Christian lives between what we have and what we need to receive. There's a sense in which we need to go on receiving what we have. We have it as our inheritance. And yet we need to go on receiving. Every time you take communion, you should expect to receive something from God. It's not a memorial meal. It's a way of God imparting to us. Every time you pray for one another, you should expect to receive an impartation from God. Otherwise, there's no point in praying for one another. Now, that means that there should be this expectation to receive, but when we speak into others' lives and when we pray for others, we should expect to impart something. Now, Jesus says when any two agree about anything, it will be done by the Father in heaven. So if there is an agreement in the one who prays as to what will be imparted, and the one who receives as to what will be imparted, then that will be imparted.
That's it. Absolutely.
Often there isn't that agreement. Often people don't even communicate with one another what they believe, what they expect, whether they anticipate any impartation. Now, if you just stop and consider what God has already done in your life, you know that he has already imparted to you. The new birth, when you came alive by the Spirit of God, was an impartation. Something happened to you. Some of you might have had a glorious event, some of you may not, but you know that God imparted that life to you. And ever since then, your life has been different. When you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was an impartation from Jesus personally. Because the scripture says, he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized in water, you are baptized into Christ. But when you are baptized in the Spirit, you are baptized by Christ. And there obviously is a great distinction between those two things. So when you were baptized in the Spirit, God imparted something to you which release the power of the Holy Spirit into your life. Many of you, if not most of you, at some time or other, have been healed by the Lord. That healing was an impartation. God imparted something to you. Now, you could say that if God had already given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that healing was already yours. You could say that when you were born again and God gave you that inheritance, everything of the Spirit was already yours. And yet, God chooses times, moments in our lives and history to impart what is ours as part of our inheritance as co-heirs with Christ. Anybody in this morning? So God's desire is for us to continually expect impartation. I think God is disappointed when we have a time of prayer, even personally, and we haven't given him the opportunity to impart to us. Whenever we have an 8 o'clock here, I believe on every occasion God wants to impart something to us. Every time the church comes together on a Sunday or any other time, God's purpose is to impart something, not just for us to have a service. There was an Anglican bishop in the 1930s who was actually a great man of God. It does occasionally happen. And this man had a key phrase in his ministry: God eternally lives to give himself. He had a very, very wide impact at the time in the years leading up to the war. And it was this faith, really, that he had, that God desired always to impart. But what he is imparting is not just blessing, he's imparting himself. Now, you know, Paul speaks of these clever guys who say, we've got it all. And he's a bit sort of cynical, really, about this. And he says, well, I wish I had what all you guys say you have, to paraphrase what he's saying. If I was as rich as you, well, my goodness me, I could make things happen. Because it's easy for us to say, I have it all. God has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing. I have the anointing of the Holy One. Bom, ba, bom, ba, bom, ba, bom. And we all know those are good, true faith statements. But although that is our inheritance, we still need God to be imparting to us every day. And people need to have this expectation of impartation. Say that, expectation of impartation. Sounded right good. Let's say it again. Sounded good, didn't it? Expectation of impartation. I wonder what on earth it means. Anyway, it sounds good. But we should always expect God to give to us. Now, of course, he says that the measure we give is the measure we get back. So what are we doing when we worship? We are imparting something to God. We're not just singing songs. We're not just trilling away in the Spirit for a few minutes. We actually want to impart something to God. We want to bless God. We want to honor him, because all blessing, honor, dominion, glory, and power belong to him. So it may be very obvious that in comparison with him, we have got very little to impart. And you think, well, God is so great and all sufficient in himself. How could it be significant for us to impart anything to him? Yet that is what he wants. He wants us to impart blessing and honor and glory and power to him, because he is worthy of that. So when we come in here, it's obviously a bank holiday yesterday. You need sort of stirring up at the beginning. But we should come in, as we know, giving everything right from the beginning, because we want God to be blessed. We want to actually give something to the Lord. And of course, we are giving of ourselves. We're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. That starts with the sacrifice of praise. This is every time I praise God, I am giving of myself to Him. I'm not sort of standing here on earth and saying, I hope you're listening to this, God, because, you know, I'm singing. No, I want to draw near and give to Him. I want to honor the one who is on the throne. But if God eternally lives to give Himself, and we are made in His image, and we are as He is in the world, then we eternally live to give ourselves. Now, we need to understand that in two ways. We give of ourselves to the Lord and to others, because that's the only way to serve Him. You can only serve Him by giving of yourself to others. Which is why He gives us the new commandment, you're to love one another, which means you're to love others and let others love you. So we have this sense of we are giving of ourselves to Him, we're giving of ourselves to others, which is why as soon as you're born again, God puts you in His body, He puts you in the fellowship of believers, so you can live for them and not yourself. That's why a branch that isn't attached to the vine, isn't grafted into the vine, will just wither and die. It can't bear fruit on its own. So we are grafted into the vine. We are part of the body so that we are living for the good of the body. We are living for others. Therefore, we want to impart to others. Now, what do we want to impart? We want to impart ourselves. Are you listening? But that raises the question, who are you? Because yourself is now Christ in you. Now, if your new identity is Christ in you, which is what the Great Revelation is all about, then you have the ability to impart Christ to others. That actually Christ lives in you by the power of His Spirit so that you impart Him to others. Are we getting this?
Yes.
Now, if you are called by God to impart Him to others, and you're praying for someone, why ask God to impart to that person? You see, when you start praying, when you start laying hands on people and start praying, you know, all kinds of prayers, you have missed the point of what the laying on of hands is all about. You lay hands on people to impart what you have to give to them. So you see, when Peter and John heal the cripple at the temple gate, Peter says, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we give to you. They didn't pray, oh God, come and do a great miracle. Lord Jesus, heal this man. Nothing is impossible for you. He said, no, what we have, we give to you. Because you see, they were men of faith, they knew what they had.
Amen.
They had the power of the Spirit within them. They had the authority that Jesus had given them to heal the sick. So they said, well, what we have, we now give to you. Impartation. This is the way that Jesus acted all the time. People came to him and he to them. All he wanted to know by the questions he asked them is, do you believe that I will impart to you now that for which you're asking?
Right.
Not will I impart to you sometime in the future, or is it the will of God in the never never land, but do you believe right now that you can receive the impartation of the answer to your need. And you see, when there is that kind of faith, then the healing happens. So Jesus asked these questions because he knew he was on a winner every time when people like blind Bartimaeus expected to get his sight back. I've seen many, many, many miracles. Wonderful healings. But I've never had to do much. When you see a great miracle, you don't have to do much. Why? All you have to do is impart whatever you have, and that's not much. Because it's all over in a few moments. Are you there? You see, you are a carrier of the Holy Spirit. You're not a carrier of Leviathan or any other spirit. You're a carrier of the Holy Spirit. See, people have often prayed many times for the resolution to a situation and never seen it resolved. Because what they need is an impartation. But not always is there faith for an impartation. I told you the guy in the wheelchair who came with his pair of shoes on his lap. You see, when I prayed for him, I knew I was on a winner before I prayed for him. Because he had come to that meeting, or he'd been to many, many, many meetings. He'd been prayed for many, many times by Christians, but he'd never brought his shoes with him before. Because that meeting, God spoke to him, or that evening, God spoke to him before the meeting, and he came expecting the impartation of his healing. So 2 minutes later, he was putting his shoes on and walking. Because you see, it's easy when God is in the whole business and all you've got to do is just impart what he has put within you. When you pray for one another, you hear me say often, just remember God says, Jesus says, you're not heard for your many words. You see, when faith is opting, you don't need many words. Because what is going to take place is an impartation. But you have got to expect to impart, if you're doing the praying, and expect to receive an impartation if you're being prayed for. The expectation of impartation. I have to write a book about that. Yeah. Can't waste a good title like that. So it doesn't matter where we go, we are able to impart. Now, what is essential in this is that we are led by the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus said he did nothing independently of the Father. He did only what he saw the Father doing. He actually said, I can do nothing of myself. So every time you see Jesus imparting healing or whatever else to people, he is in the will of his Father. He knows that this is what his Father wants him to do with this particular person at that particular time. And that's all we need to know. And you see, if God has put the person there in front of you, you can make a fairly good assumption that God is ready to impart. And if it's not right to impart, he will stop you. And the great thing, I mean, you'll just get this witness of the Spirit. No, don't pray now. The great thing is when you're witnessing to non-believers out there, you don't have to wait till they have an expectation of impartation.
That's right.
You are the only one who needs that expectation. And your agreement is with the Holy Spirit, who is going to glorify Jesus by demonstrating to this non-believer who God is. That he's not just some ethereal being in the far-off distance, but he is the one who lives in you and can impart his life, his healing, his grace, his mercy, his peace through you. Now, of course, that's not only through the laying on of hands, because Jesus often imparted simply by speaking. But of course, behind the words is the faith that through those words an impartation will take place. So when he healed, he didn't always, in fact, from most of the events of healing that we have in the Gospels, he didn't often lay hands on people, but he spoke. Through the words, there came an impartation. Why? Because he spoke with faith. He expected what he said to take place. And he spoke with authority. Because if you speak with faith, you will speak with authority. So he was commanding things into being. Now, that is the anointing you have been given.
Amen.
That is the privilege you have. It's the ability God has given you to impart to others what he has imparted to you. You see, God doesn't give you revelation, doesn't give you anointing, doesn't give you anything without having a purpose for you passing on what he's given you to others. So even when he gives you revelation, that revelation is always so that you might impart revelation to others. If he gives you life, it's so that you will impart that life to others.
Right.
If he heals you, it's so that you can then be an impartator, imparter of healing to others.
Right.
You'll find that many people with good healing ministries were miraculously healed by God themselves. Simply because that event sparked faith in them, and you sort of know, well, if God can heal me, he can heal anyone. And with that faith and that authority and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they become imparters of healing to other people. So you students, I mean, all that you learn and glean here is not actually for you. It's for all those that you will be imparting to in the coming years. (Clears We've just been through this exciting victory over Leviathan here.
Amen.
I said victory.
Amen.
So there am I thinking, right, praise God, now we can move on from that. Now God has given me a whole new revelation I'm not going to talk about this morning of where this spirit is attacking in other, got nothing to do with Kingdom Faith directly. And he said, now you have the revelation, now you have the victory over this, you are to go into these various situations and you are to take that victory. And I think, thanks very much. I thought we were done with that and we could move on. God said, no, no, why have I given you the victory so now you can take that victory into other places? Thank you, Father. And you would be amazed, actually. I had one of the most amazing times of revelation yesterday morning from God, I think, that I've had for years and years and years. About how this and where this spirit is operating and how it needs to be overcome. Amazing, absolutely amazing. And you know what it's like when God speaks to you and God gives you revelation, it all seems so obvious. And you think, well, why hasn't anybody seen it before? Because I know nobody's seen these things that God was talking to me about yesterday. But you see, whatever he does is never for us alone. It's always so that we will be imparters to others. So it's good to get some practice in. I mean, this is what you're here for, to practice on one another. Now, you see, you would say there's a good level of faith here.
Amen.
But, of course, it's not good enough yet. Because we're not seeing enough impartation yet. And the more impartation, the more victory.
Right.
The more unresolved issues become resolved.
That's right.
Because that's what impartation is about. Not I'll pray for you, but I'll impart to you.
Come on.
And you say, well, wait a minute. Do I have the anointing for that? Well, if you've got Christ in you, you have the anointing for that. This is what the great revelation is all about. Not I, but Christ. But of course, it's not very helpful if you sort of speak to someone or lay hands on someone thinking to yourself, I'm not sure if this is going to work. Or, you know, you look at the situation and it looks so horrendous that you think, dear God, I don't know if I've got the faith for this. And God's answer to that is, well, you might not, but I have,
right.
And I'm in you. So why don't you trust me and let my faith come forth in you and my power and my life. You see, when the more you get into ministry, there are times when you know, you just know, doesn't matter what the situation is, you know a mighty miracle is going to happen. And no devil or demon can stop it. You just know. But I believe God wants to take us to a place where that kind of knowledge is ours every day. Not just on the odd occasion, when we sort of, you know, rise up and, whoa, yeah. See, the amazing thing is God uses the humble. So it's not, well, I can do this. It's Christ in me can do it. But, of course, you know, Peter didn't say, silver and gold have we none, but we have Christ in us. He said, what I have, I give to you. What did he have? Christ in him. And because he had Christ in him, because he had the power to heal and the authority to heal, the man gets healed. Praise God. A little while ago, I picked up a copy of my first book, you know, about the revival in Luton. And I was just flicking through it, and I read one or two amazing miracles happened. I'd forgotten all about. I mean, really astonishing things. I'd just forgotten all about them. Why? Because, you see, if we are carriers and imparters, we're not in the business for ourselves, for our own esteem and our own acclaim, that you give all the glory to God and you move on to the next one. You see, for a period of time, for, I don't know, about 3 years of my ministry there, I was virtually every day, I was just praying with one person after another that came from all over. I mean, every day I would see a series of miracles. I couldn't even remember all of them or tell you what all of them were because it was just one after another, after another, after another. But you see, there was the expectation that anybody who came would get healed. So what happened? Well, anybody who came got healed. But they came with the same expectation because they heard that when people came and got prayed for, they got healed. And then it became a ministry of the whole church, not just me. So everybody was healing everybody else. In fact, they were doing that at the same time. But you see, this is the whole point, that God has taken us out of the mundane.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's singled us out from the crowd. He's set us apart from the mass of people to be a holy people for himself. And he has imparted himself to us because he's got a purpose in doing that. And in fulfilling that purpose, you might come against all kinds of opposition. I've had constant opposition all the way through my ministry, which is what Jesus had, which is what the apostles had, as you read in the New Testament. There was always opposition, sometimes from within, sometimes from outside the church, but there was opposition all the time. So one thing you learn is not to focus on the opposition, but to keep your focus on the Lord and just keep doing the business. Because the enemy always wants to distract our attention away from what the Lord is wanting to do. Are you there? Now this brings us back to the gospel. You see, if you are not living in the good of the gospel, you will never have faith for impartation. Now, why does Jesus say you are never to judge? Why does Jesus say you are always to forgive anybody who has wronged you? And the answer to that is quite simply because it's the gospel. And it's the gospel because God has been so merciful to us. What did Jesus do on the cross? He took all your sin, he took all your shame, he took all your guilt, he took all your failure, He took all your inadequacy and he put it all to death. He showed you his mercy. He didn't judge you for any of that stuff. He didn't condemn you. He didn't accuse you. He didn't criticize you. He forgave you and put all that stuff behind his back, separated it all from you as far as east is from west. It all disappeared from your life as the mist before the rising sun. All that just evaporated. And every time God forgives you, the same is true. All the guilt, all the shame, all the sin, all the fear, all the inadequacy, all the sense of condemnation is eradicated completely through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, only if you believe that will you have confidence to impart. Because the devil is a nasty piece of work. And he will always try to accuse you and say, well, of course, it won't work for you because you did this and you said that and you're not this and you're not that and you haven't done this and just look at you. I mean, he'll do anything to get you to look at yourself. And as you've heard me say before, anybody who keeps looking at himself deserves to get depression. Because we've got to keep our focus on Jesus and on who he is and what he has done. So he has freed me. He has liberated me. Therefore, there is no impediment and no hindrance in my life that can prevent the impartation of what Christ has put in me to others. It's the gospel. And only the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He is the deceiver because he wants to keep pointing the finger. He wants to keep criticizing. He wants to take away because it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You see, why does that twisting, what does that twisting spirit do? Twists the truth. Why? So that people don't walk in the truth. And if they don't walk in the truth, they won't walk in what Paul calls the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Paul speaks later on in Galatians about people coming in among Christians to spy on their freedom. You see, they had a reputation, even at that time, for being so free that people were coming in and say, why are these people so free? What's going on? He says they come in to spy on your freedom. Now, the freedom isn't just to dance and sing and lift your hands and have a good time when you're praising God. The freedom is the flow of God that is taking place in the body. The freedom by applying the truth so that people are set free. But you see, with Christians, there has to be the expectation of impartation by the one who gives, but also by the one who receives. Because God expects believers to believe. He doesn't expect non-believers to believe, which is why it's easier to heal them than often to heal believers. But he does expect believers to believe. Now, impartation from God can be in a moment of time or over a period of time. He works in both ways. But even when it's taking place over a period of time, God is taking someone through a process, you know that that process is leading to impartation. Now, one reason why we should regularly pray for one another, pray for others and have others pray for us, is to keep on the tiptoe of expectation of impartation. Now, you can say, well, we have the Word, and if we believe the Word, then we believe God to impart to us. Well, yes. But God has given things like anointing and the laying on of hands and communion and so on, because these are, if you like, moments in time that encourage our faith and become moments in time of impartation. When you're receiving communion, you should always expect an impartation from God, always. It's not just a holy moment. No. It's an impartation occasion. I mean, this is the body and blood of Christ that you're receiving. Amen. So we need to keep on this tiptoe of expectancy. Praise God. We need to ask God to give us more and more opportunities. Now, I was given this yesterday evening, and I was sort of challenged as to how I could bring this into the keynote this morning, so I've accepted the challenge. I mean, what would you imagine was in there? It could be almost anything, couldn't it? But when I took it out, what it is a bucket in a bag. This is for cleaning my fish tank. I almost said, feening my clish tank, but it's no for cleaning my fish tank. See, but you wouldn't think in that bag there was a whole bucket, would you? So what's this got to do with the message? I don't know, but I've at least accepted the challenge. No, it does. You see, because you have got a bucket full of blessing inside of you that at this moment is sort of squashed flat like that. But as you begin to impart, you're going to discover what you've got inside you.
Very good.
Thank you. Praise God. I think Karen must be on duty. She's not here, is she? Oh, no, she is. Oh, there you are. I've done it! Praise God. So you have this bucket full of anointing. Not for you, but to impart to others. Just open up the bucket. Don't leave it squashed. Let it out. Amen. So, shall we give it a go this morning?
Yeah.
Come on, let's stand then. Now, remember, you are imparting what you have, but you have Christ in you. You have the anointing from the Holy One. You have the authority that God has given you. You have the power. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's why at camp last year, you know, when we had those times of praying for one another, you were given 30 seconds to pray and not to use any other words except a word of impartation, one sentence. And look how many hundreds, thousands of people actually got healed. And the wonderful, mighty healings that were happening. They weren't just headaches going. And, you know. There were miracles of long-standing needs. Many of them. Why? Because the faith for impartation was being imparted. And you see, people were being taught, well, the scripture says, lay hands on the sick and they recover. It doesn't say anything about praying. And I've told you before, often, actually when I'm preaching, when I go ministering to places, as I'm speaking, I'll come down sometimes, just lay hands on someone while I'm speaking. I'm not speaking about healing, I'm not speaking about anything. And the person, you know, usually they'll begin to cry after about half a minute or a minute, tears, weeping. And I say, what are you crying for? I said, I've just been healed. Why? Because I laid my hands on them. Didn't pray for them, didn't do anything. I just did what the scripture said. Lay your hand and they'll be healed. So it's a good demonstration to the rest of the people, you see. Hallelujah. Have hands, we'll heal.
Right.
Just look at your hands. See? They are instruments of healing. I mean, you know, the doctors in hospital, they've got all their instruments of healing, but you have got an instrument of healing as part of your body. But those hands simply have to be motivated by the faith that is in you. So your attitude is, if I lay hands on you, you're going to be healed. And if the person thinks, if you lay hands on me, I shall be healed, that's it. Job done. Hallelujah. Poor, come on, let's just praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now just say, I can because you can, Lord. Come on, say it again. I can because you can. See, he lives in you. So if he can, you can. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to get into groups of three. Just impart. Now, what I want you to do is to go around in turn and each one to say what you believe God will impart to you in the next 5 minutes. This is not what he's going to do in the far, dim, and distant future, but what you believe he will do now. And then the other two, you just lay your hands on and speak that into being in the name of Jesus. Nothing more than that, one sentence, no long prayers. You don't need tongues at this moment, because when you pray in tongues, you speak to God. And this is an impartation from God. So you're not speaking to God, you're speaking to the person, you're speaking to the need, you are addressing the situation in that person's life in the name of Jesus. This is what it means to do things in the name of God. You're doing it on behalf of Jesus. You see, when you lay hands on someone in the name of Jesus, that's just as good as Jesus himself laying hands on that person. You are doing it on his behalf, in his name. Amen. Okay, get into your triplets and impart.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.